Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wake up, Lincoln.
Come on, it's 6 o'clock. Rise and shine, rise and shine.
It's time for Early Break with Sip and Jake, brought to you by Gaina Trucking. Live from the Koppel Chevrolet GMC studios in the heart of Lincoln, America. Here's 93.7 The Ticket's Jake Sorensen.
Did seem kind of meh.
And Steve Sipple.
Surprisingly good.
This is Early Break with Sip and Jake, sponsored by Gaina Trucking.
Welcome back to Hour 2 on a Wednesday. Steve Sipple, Jake Sorensen, Early Break. Fun show so far. You got the podcast at theticketfm.com. Good stuff from Sean Callahan in the first hour. The show, as always, is sponsored by Gaina Trucking. Check out their current job openings at GainaTrucking.com.
A few leftovers from the coaching rankings.
Yeah, please do.
Few leftovers from what we talked about in the first hour, which was the CBS Sports annual ranking of coaches. Scott Frost was number 53.
Out of 65 in Power 5.
Right. So they just yesterday released number 65 through 25. Top 25 today. Not in the top 25, David Shaw. David Shaw is number 29.
His star has faded the last few years.
Because the Cardinal are 11-19.
Wow.
11-19 since the start of the 2019 season. David Shaw, a few years ago, you never would have dreamed he would be outside the top 25.
No.
One that I don't quite understand outside the top 25 is Pat Narduzzi.
They just win the ACC last year, right?
Yeah, he's outside the top 25. I'm not sure exactly where he's at.
He's at 28, I thought.
28 or yeah. 29, Pat Narduzzi. Check that out.
I'll get it right down.
I mean, the guy just won the ACC.
He is number 27.
Okay, so close.
He only moved up four spots after going 11-2. He was 31 last year.
One of the big droppers was Brian Harsin.
Yeah.
Brian Harsin at Auburn dropped 21 spots to 48th.
Auburn just isn't very good right now. I mean, last year I watched them. You know, they almost beat Alabama, right? They pushed them to a couple overtimes and lost. The defense was great.
7-6.
The offense sucked, though. I mean, their offense was bad last year.
7-6.
Right.
He's on the hot seat.
Well, he should be on the hot seat.
One year.
They were 500 last year. I mean, Auburn has high expectations.
A little different situation.
They won a championship in the last 15 years. They expect it. They lost another one in 2013. They have played for a national title within the last 10 seasons of college football. They expect to be there all the time, especially when your big brother, Alabama, is always there. So, yeah, I was never sold on Brian Harsin to begin with, going to Auburn, but yeah, he's on the hot seat there.
Brian Harsin actually was 6-7 last year, not 7-6.
So have you changed your mind? It's below 500.
Served
with a near upset of Alabama.
Survived a possible offseason coup. So let's see what happens with Brian Harsin this year. Now it leads us to our next subject, which is
464-5685, call or text as always. What holds Nebraska back the most from having a breakout season recently? What has been the problem? Is it, what did you say is the most? You said you had an answer for this question.
Well, I think there's one area that has been identified that has really held Nebraska back since basically 2004. And you know where I'm going with this. Now, there's multiple areas that have held Nebraska back, but there's two that come to mind first. If you think about it in terms of 2004 till now, and then a subset would be the Frost years. Okay? There's two things really that come to mind first. Turnover margin is number one.
Yeah. Yep.
And then special teams during the Frost era, I'd say. Now, there's other things that have held them back. Those aren't the only two things. But Dirk Chatelain of the World Herald pointed out this stat. I don't know if it was last season when he wrote this. This doesn't explain all of the Frost era, just one year. But from 2004 to 2018, Nebraska ranked 65th among Power 5 programs in turnover margin. That is dead last.
That's dead last.
That is dead last. Last.
Since 2016, you said?
Jake.
Take that again.
Engage. Sorry. 2004 to 2018.
Okay.
2004 to 2018, Nebraska ranked 65th among Power 5 programs in turnover margin. In the Frost era.
Okay.
Okay. 2018, Nebraska was 83rd nationally, minus two. And if you the way it's computed on collegefootballstats.com, that's minus 0.17 a game. 2019, they're actually even, 61st nationally, even.
Okay.
2020, minus 11.
That's not going to do it.
Minus 11, 123rd nationally.
Terrible. Terrible.
2021, 98th, minus five. Minus five. If you had to identify one area that has held Nebraska back, that'd probably be it. Now, Nebraska, in recent vintage Nebraska, the only time they were plus was?
Well, I got to guess.
It's a hard guess.
Well, were they up in 2016?
Yes,
they were 9-4.
Plus five. Yeah, I mean,
they were 9-4.
Yeah, and they were plus five that year.
Chris Jones had a bunch of picks that season.
2015, minus 12.
Oh, first year of Mike Riley.
Minus 12. Mm. Last year of Pelini, 2014, minus two. 2013, despite, I don't know, that was a 9-win team, right?
Yep, it was nine.
Minus 11. Despite being minus 11, Nebraska was won nine games. 2012, pretty good season.
Yeah.
Minus 12.
See, that's why you go back to the Bo years, and they were still good, and they were just getting killed by turnovers.
Right.
They could have been elite if it just were even on that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Minus 12, minus 11. If you were even, you're probably winning another game or two.
Yeah. The turnover margin hasn't improved much in the Frost era at all. And that's just the way it is. Then I think if you had to point to another thing, it'd be special teams. I mean,
that's one thing that with Bo, again, Bo had they had issues with turnovers, but they had good special teams, right? Typically, they had a good kicker, typically, right?
Pretty good.
What?
Pretty good.
They specials. Always had a good kicker.
Yeah, pretty good.
And Henry, then they had.
Well, they
Maher. They
it got to Smith. The point though where Bo had to take him over, so it wasn't always good.
They had some return issues for a little bit before DPE got there.
Yeah, but anyway, Frost era, turnover margin, special teams. That's what I would point to, and then penalties. But they the penalty issue wasn't as profound as last season went on. They sort of got cleaner.
They did get better with that.
Yeah.
Still didn't result in wins.
Nebraska last year, Jake, odd stat. I mean, there's just odd stats. Nebraska was 22nd nationally in total offense. 22nd?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
But they were 71st in scoring offense. Doesn't match up.
Well, that's the red zone talking
red zone.
There. Red zone
right.
offense has been an issue.
Their TD percentage in the red zone last year was 61.4%, which was 67th nationally. Not a disaster. When I think about what's held them back, I go to the quarterback position. Not necessarily just saying that Adrian Martinez held them back, because it's more complicated than that, right? But the turnover issue is partly a quarterback discussion. And the fact that they just use that position too hard. I mean, they just rode him too hard. They just put so much on the quarterback's back that I think sometimes it broke him.
Yeah.
Well, it broke him in terms of health. It broke him in terms of probably mental fatigue.
Confidence, yeah.
The guy played last year with a broken jaw,
yep.
A bad ankle, and a shoulder problem. I mean, yes, we get it. We get it. We get it. Adrian didn't perform in the clutch. I mean, when you ride him so hard, you just wonder about how sharp mentally he is all the time.
I'm really curious if he does indeed start this year at Kansas State, Adrian. I'd like to see, mostly, Sip, how he performs in the red zone. Well, was that a coaching issue at Nebraska, or was that an Adrian issue?
Well, that's a good
question. Because, I mean, Nebraska, 22nd nationally in offense is good.
22nd, yes.
22nd, but total 71st offense. In scoring. Mm-hmm. It doesn't match up. That's red zone right there.
Well,
mostly.
If Martinez starts, who will we have standing behind him?
Deuce Vaughn.
Right.
That helps a lot.
Yes.
It helps a ton.
Yes. One of the Big 12's very best players.
But if Adrian's throwing on 3rd and 9 or 3rd and goal, what's his read like? Was it a coaching issue or was it an Adrian issue?
Oh, it'll be really interesting to see. But also in that conversation, you have to factor in he's playing against defenses that aren't as strong as he faced in the Big 10.
Correct. No doubt about that.
No doubt about that.
No doubt.
I mean, let's face it. It could be a very informative discussion in terms of maybe Adrian's just a better fit in the Big 12.
Well, that probably is true.
I mean, he's a running-type quarterback. That league is more, I think, is more suited for a running-type quarterback. A little more wide open.
Yep.
I think the Big 10's a little more suited to a drop-back passer. A little more.
The pro style in the Big 10.
Yeah.
Always has been.
A little bit more. Come on. There's been guys at Ohio State that could run it, right?
Sure.
There's been guys at other places that could run it a little bit, right?
Yeah, you don't see it as much so.
No.
I mean, you think about big quarterbacks. Like Aiden O'Connell is a pretty big quarterback at Purdue. I mean, think about...
just go down the line.
There's all those guys. Iowa always got a big quarterback, right? Well, Iowa's always got a big dude.
Petras is a straight drop back.
But they've all been that, though, except for Brad Banks back in the early 2000s. Who was a runner at Iowa?
Yeah.
Beathard, I guess, could run, but he wasn't.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Runner.
Wisconsin's been pretty oriented that way.
Hornibrook wasn't a runner. Mertz isn't a runner.
No, Russ Wilson. Russ, run.
But that was a 1 year thing.
Yeah, he could run, but he didn't run a lot, right? Didn't he? Did he run a lot?
I don't know. That year is a ways. It's like 10 years ago.
Anyway, what's held Nebraska back? I wouldn't say you'd point the finger necessarily at Chenander early. The defense is interesting to me because it's made steady progress, but not anything, no major jumps, right? It's just gotten better incrementally by a little bit every year under Chenin.
But I think that was the expectation, though. We never expected the defense to be elite when he came over here, right? That was not the recipe to success at UCF.
The recipe's changed a little bit.
It has. But they relied on turnovers a lot. They gave up a lot of points and yards, but they got turnovers.
But that's not really happening.
No, but they have been respectable. I mean, the defense has not been the problem.
The formula hasn't worked. Like, if that's the formula you're suggesting, big play offense, defense force a lot of turnovers and get the ball to the offense, and the offense makes big plays, that hasn't really been the case.
No.
The formula's changed.
That's because the Big Ten is more difficult than the AAC.
Yeah, much more.
The defenses are better. They're faster. They're bigger. They're better. Mm-hmm. It's tougher to get the big explosive plays.
Right.
Got a bunch of first-round draft picks, second-round draft picks in this league. Not as much. They got some in the AAC. Since they just had eight guys drafted.
That turnover margin stat that Dirk threw out is incredible. It's incredible. It's something that's dogged Nebraska
for 18 years.
Since Bill Callahan took over.
For 18 years.
Yeah.
And we know that. We talk about it every year. Every year we say, how do you fix turnover? It's not a surprise to us because we discuss it every offseason and every season that, wow, another game where we're -4 in turnovers.
And it's not just an offense issue. Nebraska hasn't done well at recovering fumbles.
For some reason, they are terrible at it.
Yeah.
The ball's on the ground. You maybe had it for a second, but it slips out and goes back to the opponent, or they get it back.
It's a multifaceted discussion that's fascinating. But I'll tell you this, Jake. In one way, it's not fascinating. One of the things you associate with teams that are struggling is they turn the ball over too much. To me, it's in some ways fascinating, the level at which Nebraska struggled with turnovers. In another way, though, it's not fascinating at all. Bad teams turn the ball over, right? Come on.
They do.
They're irresponsible with the ball. They're sloppy. And Nebraska, really, since 2004, a lot of sub-500 records.
Yep.
A lot of sub-standard football.
Mm-hmm.
Substandard football means turnovers to me. That's what happens, right? I mean, how many good teams turn the ball over a lot?
We went through this once.
How many good teams? How many of the upper echelon teams are turnover plagued? Doesn't have Oklahoma was.
Yeah. Yeah, there
under Barry Switzer.
There have been some that are surprising up there, but they rebound by getting turnovers back.
Right.
Like there are, I forget what the team was, but there was a team that was surprising they were up that high. But again, look at what they got back, and it made sense then. Right. They weren't -12.
Right.
It is still stunning that a Nebraska team could win 9 games with a -12 turnover margin, which they did with Bo.
Yeah, one time -11, one time -12. How do you do that?
How do you win 9 games with that?
Well, it was a very... What's the word? Schizophrenic.
Yep.
It was a very schizophrenic period, right? Just a lot of inexplicable. I mean, you'd have pretty good win followed by a blowout loss, followed by a good win.
Yep.
Followed by a blowout loss. I mean, it was what I always said about the Pelini years was the roller coaster effect was profound. You were on a wild roller coaster during the Pelini years, right?
Yes.
It was wild. Jake, it was wild.
Well, I know, but it was wild. But they won more than they lost.
Yeah. But it was a wild roller coaster.
They won more than they lost somehow with those stats that indicate they shouldn't have won that.
What are
games.
People saying that's held Nebraska back?
Here's the problem. There's a lot of answers.
I know.
And they're not the same because there's a lot of things. I mean, what you said is right. I mean, it's certainly, the turnovers have been
specials.
Bad. Special teams and turnover margin are very much so top here, but then you have offensive line people are saying that.
Yes.
Lack of, it's been since Amir Abdullah since you've been an elite running back at Nebraska. That's 2014.
Yes.
So lack of a running back.
I mean, Devon Ozigbo touched 1,000, though. I mean, he got 1,017.
1 year.
1,017. 7 yards a carry. Close to elite.
close, but that and that's.
I wouldn't call him an elite
that's
back.
That's one
though.
Season of the last eight.
No, I wouldn't call him an elite back. I don't put him in the category of Amir Abdullah, who ran twice ran for 1,600 yards.
Right.
Twice ran for 1,600 yards.
More people are saying red zone offense. I mean, we had five, six things here that are holding Nebraska back.
Well, early on, what held them back was they couldn't stop the run.
Yep.
Early on. Now, they've tightened that up. They've tightened that up to a level where you can win. They've tightened up run defense to a level you can win. Now, what will that look like this year? Watch Stephon Wynn. Watch Taylor Lewis. Watch that conversation. That's what that's about to me.
Someone says it's not just turnovers, it's untimely turnovers.
Sure.
Like, you can have it in a game and it doesn't affect that much. It's when you have them.
I don't know. There's seldom I watch a game and say, okay, it's okay, you turned it over there. Not
well, you're not happy about it, but it's like with Adrian fumbling the ball against Michigan, untimely.
Yeah, yeah. Again, though, I would go back to what I said. There's hardly ever a time where I say, okay, that's okay.
What if you're up by 28 points? It's fine then, right?
Yeah.
Except that. Yeah. When you're up by a lot, you can have the turnover.
Yes, yes.
When's
Nebraska been up by 28 recently?
It's been a while. Let's see. I don't know. Fordham?
They blew out Northwestern last year.
Yeah, that one. That was fun. That was like the happiest game we've had in a long time.
Night game.
Never was close.
Nope.
Blowout, it was a night game.
Junior varsity versus varsity that night. Right.
Yes.
Then Michigan came to town the next week, and it was varsity, right? Back to varsity, right? Remember that?
Yep. And Nebraska played well. Yeah. I mean, I still will say that the third quarter of that game is the best quarter that Scott Frost has coached at Nebraska.
Yeah, I would say so too.
Nebraska outscored Michigan 22-7 that quarter.
Great play calls. Great play calls.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the throw, the Austin Allen play.
Yep.
The Ramir Johnson, was it Johnson with the
touch? Ramir.
The floater to Ramir Johnson.
Ramir caught that ball over
beautiful.
His shoulder.
I mean, just well played.
Yeah.
Defense played excellent that quarter.
It was great. It was great. I mean, that two-game stretch was strong. It was. It was confusing, right?
Yes.
Why is it confusing? If you were I'm going to do it. If you're the guy in Albuquerque and you're watching Nebraska in that versus Michigan that night, you have that game on, what are you thinking? Look at that. Honey, look at that crowd in Nebraska. That is wild. They got Michigan on the ropes. They must be pretty good. I don't know what happened to them, honey. They finished 3-9. That didn't look like a 3-9 program that night, did it? Did it?
No, it did not.
I mean, nothing about it looked that way. The atmosphere was incredible. If you turn that game on, and you're an outsider and knows nothing about Nebraska, you think Nebraska's a pretty good program, don't you?
Well, that game could have flipped the entire season. If you beat Michigan, you had just blown out Northwestern. Mm-hmm. You beat Michigan, you're back to, I think you're back to 4-4, right, at that point? Because you were 3-5 with that loss?
I think so.
I believe so.
Well, I'll figure it out right
now. I think you would have been 4-4 if you had beat Michigan. And then all of a sudden, okay, you've won back-to-back home games. You blew out Northwestern.
Well, you damn near beat Michigan State. Then you blew out Northwestern.
Right.
And then if you beat Michigan, you have Minnesota next. God, I mean, the injury to Adrian was gigantic in that game, though. He just wasn't himself.
Right.
He wasn't himself.
Going
you could
road,
tell.
Yeah.
You could tell. Three snaps in. What's wrong
right.
with Adrian?
Yeah, the first drive was terrible.
Yeah.
They went nowhere.
Yeah. And they threw the clunker against Purdue.
Yep.
Big clunker.
It was all over after that.
Big clunker.
It's all over.
Yeah. You're right, though. What happens if they beat Michigan?
I always compare it to the Penn State game in 2014 when they beat Ohio State and it changes. They get on a heater because they believe, okay, if we can beat Ohio State, we can beat everybody. Here's and the they
deal.
Did.
Here's the deal. Here's the deal. I'll tell you what Frost would tell you. What's held us back? I know what he'd tell you. A big thing. We've just never got on a run where we've been able to generate confidence. He believed. Scott Frost believed last year they were this close to getting over the hump.
It was the Michigan game.
Well, he thought going into the season, we just got to get on a run.
Well, they lost to Illinois to start the season.
I know.
Why I kept saying that was the most important game because you got to set
the
damn tone.
It's not a horrible take in retrospect.
I might say that Northwestern's the biggest game
for
the season.
Oh, don't say that.
If I look at the schedule, I might say that again.
You're right. You ended up being right about Illinois.
Tone, you need to win in Ireland.
Well, you were right in the context of what Frost was saying going into last season. He felt they were close to getting over the hump, but they needed to get wind under their sails.
How does that change for this year then? How is it
not
the same
much
thing?
Different.
Because
probably
they were close. They were not a bad football team. They had a bad record.
Probably not that much different, except the difference is now they got a bunch of new guys.
Have guys not doubting themselves after one game. They got to beat Northwestern. I might make it my most important game of the season.
Well, the next game's always the most important, so I can't say.
I got laughed at my Illinois take.
I did.
And I was correct.
The reason I laughed is because I didn't think it would be a good game. I thought Nebraska.
It wasn't a good game.
It wasn't. I thought Nebraska beat him by 14, 17 points.
If they don't beat Northwestern to begin the season, this season will not end well.
Don't say that.
I guarantee you that. It will not end well.
You don't know that. You don't know that.
I would put a guarantee out there.
Yeah.
If they lose Northwestern, the season's over before you
don't say that.
You heard it
here first.
That's
ridiculous.
You heard it here
first. That's ridiculous. That's Jake. Now, hold on.
That was your only conference
win
last year.
You can't go to a break on that.
I'm going to.
You can't do that. I mean, that's selling everybody in that program way too short. If they lose to Northwestern, season's over before it began, no.
There's a lot of guys back on this team. That was their only win last year, and they killed them. Yeah. You need to win that game. That is the most important. I'm saying right now, most important game
is
Northwestern again.
You're not giving enough credit to the human spirit by saying that, okay?
I do what I do. More next on Early Break on the Ticket.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.